The text of Scripture that the Lord has laid upon my heart for this service this morning are the final words of verse 5 and the opening words of verse number 6 of Revelation chapter number 1. Let me read those words with you again. It says, "Unto him that loved us, washed us from our sins in his own blood, made us kings and priests unto God and his Father." Now, the book of Revelation is a book that centers upon our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Look at verse 1 of the chapter. It says, "The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him." It is a revelation of Christ that God gave here in particular unto his servant John, the apostle, who was banished for the word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ and the Isle of Patmos. And in this book, we read about the person of Christ. We learn about the power of Christ, the position of Christ, the passion of Christ. It is a book that tells us many things, past, present, and future, concerning the Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ. You look at verse 3 of the opening chapter, you'll see there that God gives a great promise to all who read and all who heed the teachings of this book. Verse 3 says, "Blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of this prophecy, and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand." That's a tremendous promise. That promise not only applies to the book of Revelation, but really it is a promise that applies to all of the Bible, from Genesis right through to Revelation. God promises to bless those who read his word and those who seek by his grace to live out his word in their lives day by day. Then when you come to verse 4 of the chapter, you see there how John prays for the seven churches in Asia Minor. It says, "John, to the seven churches which are in Asia, grace be unto you, and peace from him which is, which was, which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before the throne." He prayed there in particular for these churches, that they might know God's grace and favor, and that they might know God's peace upon them in their ministry and in their testimony at that particular time. Can I say also that is something that all God's people can continually pray for in their own personal life and the life of their church and the life of God's people, that each and every one who knows the Lord, who owns the Lord, will know fresh grace and peace from the Lord, from the sanctuary of heaven itself. Then in verses 5 and 6, our text for this morning, we have there recorded, John has recorded, the song of God's redeemed saints in heaven. That's really what we have before us here in this text. And my, this is why it is good for God's people to sing in earth, for us to sing out the praises of God in earth. For in doing so, we are but preparing ourselves for the eternal praise of God in heaven and in glory. You'll see here that in heaven, Christ is the focus in the song of the saints. It's all about Christ. And how there's a lesson there for us in our praise on earth. It should all center and focus upon the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Notice what the saints in heaven sing about the Lord. And in verses 5 and 6, their song is this. It says, "Unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood, and have made us kings and priests unto God and his Father, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen." There you see that this song is all about Christ. It is all about his great work of redemption in the lives of his people. And this morning, people, it is this great song of the saints, the redeemed saints of God in glory, that I want us to look at and focus our hearts and our minds upon. I want you to notice, first of all, that this song, it speaks to you and I about a great necessity. Look there at verse number 5. Notice those words in verse number 5 where it says, "Washed us from our sins." And there you see that man's greatest need in this life, what is it? It is to have his sins washed away. before Almighty God. It says there, He washed us from our sins, and that focuses our hearts and our minds upon man's greatest need before God, his Maker, before God, his Creator. It is to have his sins washed away from before the all-seeing eye of God Almighty. Can I say that is a need that applies to us all, to all mankind, to every one of us in this gathering? You see, the Bible says there is none righteous, no, not one. And the Bible makes it very clear that every one of us are born into this world with a sinful heart and a sinful nature. The Bible says, wherefore as by one man sin entered into the world. And by our sinful nature has meant that none of us are able to live up to the standard of God's perfect and holy law. The Bible says, for there is no difference, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And by our sinful nature has caused every one of us to break God's holy law in thought and in word and in deed. The Bible tells us that sin is the transgression of the law of God. It's the breaking of God's law, His commandments. And my all our sin is something that is grieving to God, our Maker. It grieves His heart, He who is infinitely holy. You remember what the Bible says about God with regard to man and his sin way back in the book of Genesis? If you turn back to Genesis chapter number 6 and verses 5 and 6, there you see God's view of man and his sin. And that was, of course, in the day of Noah, and it hasn't changed. God's view of man and his sin is still the same today. You'll see here that sin, our sins, grieve God. The sin of mankind, it grieves Almighty God. Genesis chapter 6, verses 5 and 6, it says, and God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. Notice there the truth that our sin, it grieves Almighty God. It's grieving to God. Not only that, our sin, it separates us from God, our Maker. The Bible says, all we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone to his own way. That speaks of man and his sin, separated, cut off, shut off from God in this life. Then our sin condemns us to death and to everlasting punishment in hell in the lake of fire. The Bible says, because of sin, it is appointed unto man once to die, and after this, the judgment. And dear people in our meeting this morning, this is why you and I need to have our sins pardoned. This is why you and I need to have our sins washed away from before God. For it is only by this pardon and the washing away of our sins that you and I can be saved from our sin and can be saved from the awful ruin of our sin. It is only by our sins being washed away that you and I can be made right with God, that you and I can be saved from a lost eternity in hell and can be made sure of heaven. That is why you and I and all mankind need to have our sins washed away. At the end of the book of Revelation, John there speaks to you and I about heaven. And this is what he says about heaven. He says, and there shall in no wise enter into it anything that defileth. In other words, God will allow no sin into his heaven. Heaven will be a place where sin is excluded. Heaven will be a place that is void of sin. Therefore, to be in heaven, you and I, we need to have our sins washed away before the Almighty God. We need to have our sins forgiven if we're to be in heaven. Friend, in the meeting this morning, you may have very and many and varied legitimate needs in life, important needs of life, needs that concern your home, maybe your health, your family, your business, your work. But I want to say to you this morning, your greatest need in this life, in this scene of time, is to have your sins washed away. your sins cleansed away before Almighty God. This is vital. This is a must. This is a necessity in your heart, a necessity in your soul. If you are to be saved, if you are to be right with God, if you are to be sure of going into God's heaven one day and singing the song of the redeemed saints of God forevermore. Oh yes, see here that this song, it speaks to you and I of a great necessity, the washing away of our sins. Let me ask you, as you sit in this meeting this morning, have your sins been washed away? Have they been cleansed away before Almighty God? But then secondly, notice also that this song, it tells you and I about a great cost. Notice again there at the end of verse 5 of Revelation chapter 1, the words it says, in his own blood. Says, has washed us from our sins. Notice those words, in his own blood. In his own blood. And there the Apostle John is speaking to you and I about the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And he's speaking there in particular about the cost of our redemption and our salvation from sin. What was it? It is the precious blood of Christ. It is the shed blood of the Lamb, the Lord Jesus Christ, who came into this world, who was born in Bethlehem, who traversed this world, who went to the cross of Calvary and hung and bled and died for sinners upon that cross, shedding his own precious atoning blood. My, that is the great cost that is mentioned here in this great hymn of thanksgiving that is sung by the redeemed saints in glory. They sing the song of the precious blood of the Lamb. You know, a few weeks ago, in our own land, in our own nation, we remembered the sacrifice of thousands in two world wars, other international conflicts, those in our province who laid down their life for our freedom and our liberties today. They gave their life, they give their today for our tomorrow. Well, you know, the greatest of all sacrifices is the sacrifice of Christ. For Christ willingly laid down his life on the cross as a substitutionary sacrifice for the sins of all of his people. In John chapter 10, he says there, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. Speaking of his own life in John 10 verse 18, he says, I lay it down of myself. He willingly laid down his life. He willingly gave up the ghost and shed his blood on the cross of Calvary. And by his sacrifice as the sinless Son of God, he satisfied God's justice. He bore upon himself the judgment for sin that all of his people rightly deserve for their sin. And by that supreme sacrifice, he made a way, he opened up a way, he provided a way for sinners like you and I to be saved from the awful ruin, the awful plight of our sin. The Bible speaks of Christ and says, he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes, we are healed. What does that healing speak of? It speaks of the cleansing, the washing away of our sins by the blood of the cross. You remember what it says over in 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 18 and 19, as Peter writes there to the saints of God, what does he say? For as much as you know that you're not redeemed with corruptible things such as silver and gold, but with the precious blood of Christ as a lamb without blemish and as a lamb without spot, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Oh, dear believer in Christ in our meeting this morning, may you thank the Lord afresh today as you sit in this gathering, as we worship the Lord. Lift up your heart in thanksgiving afresh to the Lord and thank him for coming into this world. Thank him for his incarnation. Thank him for going all the way to the cross of Calvary and dying for you upon the cross and shedding his blood for the remission, for the cleansing away of your sin. Oh, thank him afresh today that he came in the fullness of God's time to seek and to save that which is lost. Well, the hymn writer says, Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe, sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it. white as snow. Oh, thank the Lord today for Christ coming, for dying for you upon the cross, shedding his blood for you, for the cleansing, the remission, the pardoning, the washing away of your sins before Almighty God. Am I speaking to one in the gathering today, young or old alike, and you're still not saved? Let me say this, that if your sins are to be washed away before Almighty God, then by faith alone you must come to Christ. Come just as you are. You must confess your sins before him. Acknowledge your sins to the Lord. Ask him to forgive your sins. Ask him to cleanse away your sins in the blood that he shed upon the cross of Calvary. The Bible says the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, it cleanseth us from all sin. The Bible declares that if we confess our sins, he that is the Lord is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Will you not come this morning to the Lord? The Lord has spared you. The Lord has been gracious to you in the week that has gone by. Oh, will you not come today and acknowledge your sin, acknowledge your need of Christ? Lift up your heart and your soul in prayer unto the Lord and ask the Lord to save you. My, this is the only way that you can be saved. This is the only way that your sins can be blotted out. This is the only way that you can be right with God and sure of heaven. It is faith in the Lord Jesus, trusting him. Let me make it clear this morning that it is not faith in yourself. It is not faith in your church, this church or any other church. It is not faith in your good works or giving to charity or to those in need. It is not faith in any man of this world or of this scene of time. No, to be saved, you must trust Christ. You must lay hold upon Christ with the hand of faith and embrace him and trust him as your own and personal Savior. The Bible says, without shedding of blood, there's no remission. Without the shed blood of Christ, that incorruptible blood being applied by faith to your heart, you can never know the remission, the forgiveness, the washing away of your sins. Yes, we see here in this song a great necessity. We see a great cost. Notice something else here in the song of the redeemed saints in heaven. It also speaks to you and I about a great love. Look at what it says there. It says, unto him that loved us. Notice those words, him that loved us. You know, in our world today, there are people, and they have been compelled to do things for all kinds of reasons, many noble reasons, many valid reasons, many genuine reasons. Yes, there are many parents in the world today, maybe even parents here in this meeting house this morning, and you have sacrificed much out of love for your children and for your offspring, and you have sacrificed much for the well-being of your child or your children or your family. And that is a noble reason for sacrificing for the good of your family and the good of your loved ones. Let me say today that it was pure, free, eternal, sovereign love of Christ for sinners that compelled him to come down from heaven, that compelled him to go to the cross and to lay down his life upon the cross. In the great work of redemption, it was love that caused Christ to go to the cross for sinners. Listen to the testimony of the Apostle Paul as he speaks of Christ dying for him. He describes Christ and he says, he is the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Again, Christ himself speaking of that love in John 15 says, greater love of no man than this, that a man laid down his life for his friends. Turn back from our Bible reading this morning a few pages in your Bible. Back to 1 John chapter number 4. Look with me at verses 8 and 9 and 10. And here you see how John here is taken up with the love of Christ and Christ dying for him upon the cross. He says at the end of verse 8 of 1 John chapter 4, he says, God is love. And this was manifested, the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into this world that we might live through him. Herein is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. In other words, the means to blot out the wrath of God that is against us for our sins, and is all linked to the love of God in Christ. Oh, when you think of Christ's coming, you think of his incarnation, his advent. When you think of him going to the cross, the sacrifice on the cross, oh, see there the love of the Lord Jesus Christ. That love that is beyond all human understanding, that is beyond all description and all comprehension. The hymn writer says, the love that Jesus had for me, to suffer on that cruel tree that I, a ransomed soul, might be, it is more than tongue can tell. Oh, people, this morning, the love of Christ, going to the cross is beyond all human understanding, all human comprehension. Why Christ should love us, why Christ should come into this world, why Christ should go all the way to the cross, bearing that awful pain and ignominy and shame and the wrath of God being poured out upon him as he hung upon that cross. Why has David thought about this in his own life? As he thought of the love of Christ toward him, he asked this question. He said, what shall I render unto the Lord for all his benefits toward me? He wanted to give something back to the Lord in return. And dear believer in Christ, in the meeting this morning, may you and I also respond to that same love. With the words of old Isaac Watts in his great hymn. And he said, love so amazing, so divine, demands my soul, my life, my all. Christ gave his all for us. He gave his life for us. He poured out his blood for us. Let us give back our life afresh to the Lord, to serve him, to live for him, to witness for him, to do his will, to do his bidding, to go where he sends us, to be a witness that others too might taste and see that the Lord is good. Unsaved friend, at our meeting this morning, let me ask, what have you done with this love so far in your life? You know, to reject Christ as your Savior is really to spurn God's love in Christ. It's to turn your back upon that love. And can I say it is the worst of all sins, for it will bring eternal ruin upon your soul and a lost eternity. Listen to the words of Christ in John chapter 3. He says, he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. It's an awful thing to turn your back upon Christ, the love of God in Christ, and to spurn him as Savior. Oh, I say to you this morning, dear unsaved friend in our meeting, man, woman, young person, refuse and reject Christ no longer, lest you perish in your sin. But embrace him, trust him, call upon him today for salvation. Know the wonderful joy of your sins forgiven. Notice one final thing here in this Song of the Redeemed this morning. It also speaks to you and I about a great outcome. Look at what John says there at the beginning of verse number 6 of Revelation chapter 1. He says, and have made us kings. Notice those words, have made us kings. That's the saints of God, the redeemed of God, are made kings through the redeeming work of Christ. What does that mean? You think today about a king. Every king has a kingdom. And my, whenever you trust the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior, what happens to you? You're brought into God's kingdom. You're brought out of the kingdom of darkness, out of the kingdom of Satan. You're brought into the marvelous kingdom of God's everlasting light and brought into his family, into his fold. It says there in John chapter 1, verse 12, but as many as received him, to them give he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. And my being a member of God's kingdom through faith in Christ, you have a place for sure in God's heaven, in everlasting glory. Remember what the Lord said to his disciples. He said, "In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you." And my, when you're in God's kingdom and God's family, you can look forward to glory. You can look forward to heaven one day. As the hymn writer says, you can look forward to that land that is fairer than day, been purchased for you, that place in heaven by the blood of the cross. Not only does a king have a kingdom, but a king also reigns. You think of a king, he reigns over his subjects, those who are under his dominion. And what does that mean to you and I as Christians, as believers, as those who have trusted Christ as our Savior, who are redeemed by the blood of Christ? It means this, dear child of God, when you trust Christ as your Savior, he does not leave you. No, he does not forsake you. He gives you grace. He gives you strength to overcome sin in your life and to live day by day to the glory of God and to be a witness for Jesus Christ, your Savior, in this ungodly world. Writing to the Lord's people in Romans chapter 6, verse 14, Paul said, "Sin shall not have dominion over you." In other words, he breaks the dominion of sin in our lives. As we were singing earlier on in that great hymn, by the sacrifice of Christ, there's liberating power from the bondage and the servitude of Satan and of sin. That is why the hymn writer could say, "Satan's slave no longer, now a child of God." He gives you grace to live for him, to serve him, to witness for him in your home, in your workplace, in your community, to be a bright and a shining light for him. He makes you a king, gives you a home in heaven, gives you grace to live for him. But notice something else there. John says, "And have made us kings," and says, "priests unto God and to his Father." What is a priest? A priest is one who intercedes to God for others, who prays for others. What does that mean to you and I when we're saved? In other words, when you trust Christ as Savior, you have access to God through Christ, to the throne of grace, and you can pray for yourself. You can pray for others, family, loved ones, those in the work of God through Christ. You can intercede on their behalf before the throne of God. Turn with me in your Bible back to Hebrews chapter number 4. Hebrews chapter number 4, and look at what Paul says there in verses 14 and verse 16 at the end of this chapter. He says of Christ, "Seeing then we have a great high priest." Christ is our great high priest that has passed into the heavens, Jesus the Son of God. "Let us hold fast our profession." Verse 16, on account of that, he encourages us to pray as priests, to intercede for others. He says, "Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need." Dear believer, as a priest unto God, that's what you are when you're saved. You're a priest unto God through Christ. You can intercede for yourself. You can pray for your family, your loved ones, your friends, your neighbors, your work colleagues. Pray for God's work, God's servants. Pray for your land, your nation. You can pray for the sick, those who are ill, those who are in need. Believer, what a blessing it is this morning to be saved and to be redeemed, to be able to pray for others and to be a blessing to them by your prayers in this world, in this scene of time. You remember what the Apostle Paul said to the Corinthian believers? He was thankful for them. He was thankful for their prayers. And he said to them in 2 Corinthians, he says, "Ye also helping together by prayer for us." They were saved. They were now in God's kingdom, God's family. They now were priests unto God through Christ. They could pray to God. And they were a help. They were a blessing to Paul in his service and his missionary journeys. And child of God, I tell you this morning, the greatest work that you can do on earth as a believer is to pray, to seek God, to call upon his name, to intercede for our land, our nation, to pray for your family, your loved ones, those in the work of God. There's no greater work than to stand in the gap and to be an intercessor for the land, for the nation, for the work of God and the cause of Christ. That's what Christ makes us, as his people, through the redeeming blood of the Lamb. Oh, rejoice today that Christ has come. Rejoice today in his love. Rejoice today in the blood that he shed. Rejoice today that your sins, dear believer, are washed away. That God has brought you into his family to serve him and to live for him. And one day you're going home to heaven to sing this song forever and ever. At the feet of Christ. At the feet of your dear Redeemer. On see a friend in our meeting this morning without the Lord. The Bible says you are without God, without Christ. I would urge you today, I would press upon you today. Turn away from the Lord Jesus Christ no longer. Embrace him, trust him, call upon him today. Christ says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And this morning, know the joy of all your sins forgiven. Be able to look forward to heaven. And then one day in heaven, gather with the saints of God and sing the song of the redeemed, the song of the soul set free for all of eternity.